This is the OTP, the official Titans podcast. We're glad you're with us. My name is Mike Keith. I am in Nashville. Well, the workers of the bunch are in Orlando wrapping up coverage of the NFL meetings. And if you have followed TitansOnline.com and you have been on Twitter, you know that Amy Wells and Jim Wyatt have been working and working and working covering the owners' meetings for you. Jim Wyatt, we introduce you first. Welcome to the program.
Okay.
Amy Wells, can you hear us?
Absolutely, I can. It's good to talk to you guys.
It's great to be with you. Let's start with you, Jim Wyatt. Overall, the thing that has jumped out to everybody from this league meeting is a rule change that has basically come out of nowhere, and that is if you lead with the crown of your helmet anywhere on the field, it is a 15-yard penalty and a possible ejection. How did this get started, and are you surprised by this rule addition?
I'm a little bit surprised because all the talk coming into this meeting obviously was about the catch rule, which was approved, which is now control of the football, 2 feet or another body part in bounds, a football move, which is a third step, extend the football, tuck the ball. And I think everyone was glad to see that move put in place, and a lot of touchdowns that have been taken off the board, or big plays that have been taken off the board, ruled incompletions, are not going to be catches. So that happens earlier in the week, and then today we hear about the rule about lowering the head, and it's already generated a lot of conversation on social media. A lot of players have chimed in. There's talk about the game not looking the same again. I sat in on Roger Goodell's press conference today that Rich McKay was a part of, that kind of, and he did his part to explain what it might mean. But I think there's still a lot of uncertainty on what it's going to look like, how it's going to be enforced, how many ejections are going to come from this once the game gets started. You know, listening to Roger Goodell talk about it, he said that coaches and teams seem to be in favor of this, and they understand it after, talking about it. And he thinks that once the players are educated and the league plans to go to all 32 teams to talk to players, that they'll have a better understanding of it. And it will be good for the game because it will be it will help from a safety perspective. But until you get there, I think there's going to be a lot of questions, and I think they're going to linger on into the fall because it sounds like the game's going to change as a result of this. And it's going to create, a lot of pretty heated conversations to have a feeling once we start playing football.
Dr. Alan Sills, who is over the NFL's concussion protocol and is from right here in Middle Tennessee, was one of the people who really pushed this. The talk, Amy, apparently started at the combine, but none of us had any idea that the talk was out there or that this was even possible, a pretty well-kept secret going into these meetings.
Absolutely, and Jim Wyatt and I were talking about it even this morning after it happened. They send out a kind of what's coming up, sort of an itinerary, and they break down what all the possible rules changes that are being proposed could be. I've read through it. I know Jim read through it. And that never jumped off the page to me. It was one of those things I was like, oh, okay, next thing. And I was really into the catch thing. I was kind of keying in on some different things. And all of a sudden, this comes up, and I was like, wait, what is that? So it's really something that, as you said, it was a really well-kept secret, and it was something that didn't generate any buzz until it happened.
The discussion with players and former players and people around the league, Jim, about how this is going to be implemented. It's been discussed that there's already a fear that the preseason games might take 4.5 hours because it would seem guys firing off the line, guys coming off of blocks at different times, a lot of different things happen in the game where inadvertently the first blow is struck with the crown of the head because it is football. And I know they're going to teach it a different way, and it seems like on all ends, as you said, it's a great idea, but the decision to implement this rule without discussing the implementation beforehand with the players really does have people freaking, doesn't it?
Yeah, because, I mean, players have to be taught and trained to play differently than maybe they've played previously. And even that, with that being said, you're not going to be able to keep instincts from taking over, at certain times. And, the main thing that Roger Goodell said today is that they want to take the head out of the game. He said that the helmets is supposed to be used for protection. It's not supposed to be used as a weapon. That's something they're going to try to get across to players. And it's the league's hope that, if it takes place and the game changes, at the NFL level, then it's going to change at the college level. It's going to change at the high school level. It's going to change all the way down to Pop Warner football. But it just seems like it might take a little while to get there because, this is how, a lot of things happen on the field happen so quickly. And some things are just not something you're just not able to avoid. And when you're starting to have players kicked out of games more frequently than what we've seen in recent years, it's going to create a stir.
Amy Wells, what has not created a stir was the change in the catch rule. Catch, mm-hmm. 2 feet down, football move. It seems like this limits things, makes more sense overall. Is there any sort of discussion that this change to the catch rule is not a good thing?
Not as far as I've heard. And you know that I have been a little sassy about what is and what isn't a catch. So as of right now, this seems to make a lot of sense. And it seems to be a way more simpler way to define what it is that we all think we're seeing anyway. They kind of just had to find a way to write themselves into what this was going to look like from a technicality enforceable standpoint. Now, obviously, we're going to have to wait until we start going through training camp, and obviously the officials will come out and present to the players and the coaches and everyone in the building, and then see how it's enforced throughout the preseason. But in my mind, at least, and in people I've had discussions with, it seems to make a lot of sense, and we finally have some clarity that doesn't have a lot of bizarre caveats attached to it. And I think that taking the ground out of the conversation is going to be helpful because it just takes one more level of kind of red tape you have to go to for an official takes it out of the equation.
All right, so let me ask, anything else about the 3 days that you've spent in Orlando at the NFL meetings, Amy Wells? Anything jump out to you that you think is newsworthy to Titans fans here on the OTP?
Well, a couple things stuck out to me. Number one, with Titans general manager John Robinson specifically, that guy was working the entire time he was there. He was doing meetings. He did interviews with us. He was obviously away from the office. He was not away from his cell phone and any lines of communication. I mean, obviously, we signed two guys in the time that we were in Orlando. John Robinson doesn't quit. And we've seen this before. We've seen him at the combine working. We've seen him at pro days on the phone working on things. It struck me how, no matter where he is, there are things that are going on. We did an interview with him on TitansOnline.com about, balancing free agencies going on. He needs to be here. The draft is coming up. The man just, I would be shocked if he sleeps ever because he just always seems like he is working. So that really stuck out in my mind. That really struck me. And then the amount of people who seem to be excited about the Titans and recognize the Titans organization as an up-and-coming organization really stuck out to me. Even when we weren't at the meetings, like around the hotel or talking to NFL officials, just people I've come into contact with, because I've been wearing Titans gear for 3 or 4 days just out in the world. And so people always ask. And instead of being like, oh, the Titans, that's in Nashville, right? I got, oh my gosh, the Titans. We had so much fun watching them in the playoffs. Man, they really seem like an up-and-coming team. The entire vibe around the Tennessee Titans on a national stage is shifting. And to see people excited, even if they aren't Titans fans, they're excited about what this team is doing. And that has been really, really fun to be a part of. And it's been fun to represent the franchise out in the world when people are excited about it.
Jim Wyatt, same question for you. Anything else really jump out to you about your time in Orlando at the owners' meetings that you feel like is newsworthy for Titans fans?
Well, all you got to do is check Titans Online, which I know you do, Mike, on a regular basis, and you can tell a lot came out of it, because I was just looking at my list of stories that I've done this week. I know Amy and Ashley Farrell worked and got interviews with Amy, Adam Strunk, and John Robinson, Mike Vrabel. Look at my list, 12 stories I know posted from the time I've been down here. It's starting with, Amy talking about John Robinson and how he never stops. He wasn't down here just for the owners' meeting. He used this little bit of free time he had on Sunday to go spend time with Shaquem Griffin, the linebacker from Central Florida, who is going to have pro day on Thursday. John Robinson got ahead of the crowd and spent some time with him, put him through a classroom setting. So, he did that on Sunday. He wrote a story about John Robinson talking about free agency and a lot of the moves that have been made. Talked to Amy Adams Strunk, gave a little few hints about the uniform, and of course we got a big April 4th date coming up about that. Talk to her also about expectations and free agency and Mike Vrabel. Amy mentioned news about Blaine Gabbert and Xavier Suafilo, the new offensive lineman from the Texans. Wrote a story about the competition that's coming in interior offensive line, how spots are up for grabs. Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry and their distribution of carries, how that's going to go in 2018. The fact that the team missed out on Ndamukong Suh, but Mike Vrabel, John Robinson feel like they're still in good shape on the defensive line with the dishes to be had. You know, I could go on and on about stories that came out of it, but I think the easiest thing to do is just to point people to Titans Online, because got a lot that came out of an hour session with Vrabel, a lot that came out of a 30-minute interview with John Robinson, a lot that came out of some time with Amy Adams Strunk, and a whole lot of Titans news to talk about and to discuss for fans.
Give you both.
Did you hear how much Jim was bragging about himself just then and how hard he's worked? Oh, my gosh. Jim Wyatt never quit.
Well, I did. If people hear the birds chirping in the background, which is happening now, because my room, I've been kicked out of my room. I'm waiting to catch a flight back. I don't want them to think birds have been chirping in my ear, sitting by the water all week. I have been working down here to justify the team putting me up at the Ritz-Carlton this week.
Yeah, have another margarita for me. Anyway, Jim Wyatt, let me start this with you and Amy. I want you to comment on it as well. The reaction to first-year coach Mike Vrabel from people around the league, not just other people from teams, but also media from around the league. What have you noticed? I think Titans fans would be interested to know how he has been seen this week and the interest in Mike Vrabel.
I've been getting a lot of feedback on him since he was hired, and it started kind of at the Super Bowl, continued to the Combine, and then obviously the owners meeting where a lot of these people come together, and certainly he has a lot of respect from people across the league. That the New England beat writers are very familiar with him. The national guys are very familiar with him from the Jays as a player there, and the success that he's had. I think that he carries himself in such a confident manner that it's impressive. I mean, he's also got a little bit of an edge to him, and sitting with him for an hour at the coach's breakfast, where you had writers from the Boston media come to him, and he's familiar with them. He knows a lot of these people on a first name basis. I think people are impressed with just how he has confidence that goes with him, and he's chomping at the bit, obviously, for a chance to coach. I mean, during the course of that interview, I mean, it got to the point where he was almost got tired of answering questions about the team, because a lot of answers he doesn't know yet, because he's not going to know until the offseason program starts on April the 9th. But he still came across as being a guy that's very familiar with the personnel, very comfortable with working with John Robinson, very happy to be having an opportunity as a head coach, even though some people questioning how, it was one national writer came in questioning how early he got a job. He's ready to take on a big opportunity, and certainly comes across as confident in being able to do that.
Amy, your reaction to the reaction to Mike Vrabel?
Yeah, and I think Jim maybe would have noticed this as well, but it seemed to me that barring a few people who just look at him based on purely a resume standpoint, no one really seems, there doesn't seem to be a cloud of mystery around him and what he's going to be able to accomplish. The way that he carries himself, the way that he interacts with people, he doesn't really behave as a rookie coach or a rookie head coach. People don't seem to be treating him as a rookie head coach. It seems like a very natural fit. It seems like, okay, he has the connection with John Robinson. They have kind of a similar pedigree. And this seems like something that's going to work. And it doesn't seem like there's this cloud of mystery about what's he going to do. Will he be able to prove himself? It doesn't feel like there's any of that. It feels like, yeah, Mike Vrabel's the head coach, and now we're going to move on to football questions as opposed to a ton of mystery around this guy. So it struck me as I was sitting yesterday at that coach's breakfast listening, none of these questions are the regular questions that you would hear when it's a person who is unproven as a head coach. You know, he's never done it before. But you don't hear some of those questions. You hear people kind of getting down to business. And I think a lot of that is the way that he presents himself and his level of confidence. And it was encouraging to me.
He's Mike Vrabel.
He's Mike Vrabel.
That's it. Mike Vrabel. Yeah. Mike Vrabel's a bad man. Let's just cut through it. I think everybody gets it. Amy, speaking of mystery, did Amy Adams Strunk give any hints toward the thing that's about ready to make her burst, I think, and that is the uniform unveiling on April the 4th? People are dying to know. I was at the Dixon Rotary today, and they were dying to know. Did she give any hints, and how is she containing herself right now?
Well, she is definitely excited, and so I was really thinking that I could catch her at a weak moment and get something out of her. And honest to God, she is on full-on lockdown. Jim Wyatt wrote about whatever he was able to shake out of her, and that is it. I mean, she is just so, so excited for everyone to know about this so we can stop talking about it and it can just be a reality. You know, right now it almost feels like this nebulous thing that, oh, are there hints over here? It's like there's all these conspiracy theories now. And I mean, it's turning into this huge thing. And she's just so excited for Titans fans to see it because this has been a huge labor of love for her. And so to finally have everyone be a part of it, she's exploding. But man, oh man, she's a vault of silence.
Jim, right now you could do your whole mailbag on this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I could. I get a lot of questions about it, as does she. I mean, she says she gets asked about it every day. You know, John Robinson had a funny line that if he told you, he'd have to use that, have to use the Men in Black wand on you, as a result of it, I guess, to try to keep you, down, to keep you from being able to spill the beans to anybody else. She, the one hint she did give is that the uniform is going to have a state of Tennessee, something specific to the state of Tennessee in them. She actually gave another hint, but then after further thought, decided, hey, let's not let this one out of the bag yet. So she kind of talked about the secrecy around it and how many friends ask her about it and how she tells them she's not letting them on the secret, and she's keeping the circle very tight. She said that when she let John Robinson and Mike Vrabel see him, she didn't forward it to him on an email or hand a sheet of paper to him. She let him see her iPhone quickly, flipped through it on her phone in front of them, and then pulled it back because she didn't want to share it with them where they could walk around with their own phone. So, with the image on it. So it's even quick with John and Mike, which doesn't make other people feel so bad knowing that they're getting that treatment as well. She just wants it to be a surprise. She wants it to be a celebration. You know, she doesn't want it to be ruined at the last minute, and that's the way it should be. And I expect there to be a great crowd, downtown on Lower Broadway next Wednesday night. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to it, and a lot of people are guessing and seeing a lot of bad images out there on what how it's going to look like this, going to look like that. We'll all find out here in less than a week.
Jim, I want to follow something up, though. While she won't talk about the uniform specifically, she was willing to talk with you about Nashville's chances of getting one of the next two drafts, and it seems like she's very optimistic about that.
Yeah, she is. Nashville, one of five cities, along with Denver, Kansas City, Las Vegas, and then Canton and Cleveland. And she said that the NFL had two site visits, and she believes that the team and the city have a great chance to host this event. We're going to find out about it. The next owners meeting, which is going to be in Atlanta on May the 21st to the 23rd. I think the operations department for the NFL will visit all of these cities, and then we'll make a proposal to the owners just to try to get it ratified at that meeting. I know that Scott Ramsey, Butch Spierden from Nashville and the Visitors Convention and the great work that they do for the Sports Council. I think they're going to make a strong pitch toward Nashville and what it could look like on Lower Broadway and the area surrounding it. And she feels like Nashville's got a great chance at this and is really excited. And boy, that would be a heck of a lot of fun, especially after being to covering the last two in Philadelphia and Chicago and just seeing the excitement that they bring to the city. I know Nashville would do a great job.
All right, so let me ask you, I want to talk about Blaine Gabbert, the Titans' new backup quarterback, and I want to take it from both angles. First of all, Amy Wells, you know Blaine Gabbert.
I do. We went to college together.
All right, so tell us about Blaine Gabbert, the human being. Give us the quick thumbnail, because I know we're going to hear the whole Missouri thing, so let's get it over with.
Of course. Well, the Missouri thing is going all year long. It's going to be really fun, so you guys just buckle up. But no, he was in college, great kid. He was a guy who really put in a lot of time and effort to making sure that he kind of knew his craft and could refine his craft. He spent a lot of time in the video room. And I've talked to guys who've known him since he's been in the NFL, and they've said that he has made a huge improvement from his time in Jacksonville to when he went to the 49ers. That transition to the 49ers was kind of a wake-up call for him. And in that time, he changed his whole approach to the game, whether it was the way that he practiced, whether it was the way that he was breaking down film, it was how much he was studying, it was the people he surrounded himself with. And so as a kid that was a good kid, as far as I knew, in college, and a really nice guy to be around and very personable and easy to talk to, for him to have even doubled down in the last couple of years on his preparation, I think that's really impressive. And it speaks to bringing in a veteran quarterback right to kind of be in that backup position.
Well, and one thing that he played against the Titans last December for Arizona, Jim, and he was sacked 8 times in that game. The Titans really got after him, but he did not make mistakes, and that was the thing he had problems with when he was in Jacksonville. Is that one of the factors that you think led the Titans to go after him when things didn't go the way they wanted with Chad Henne?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's he is younger than Matt Castle. I think mobility is something that that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel thought was attractive, made him more attractive. You know, all you got to do is really put in tape of the Jacksonville game. The game against the Titans obviously wasn't one of his better games, and a lot of that's because of the pressure that the Titans were able to generate. But the Jacksonville game, he lit it up, and he ran around a little bit. He made some great throws downfield. I think he has to be considered an upgrade behind Marcus Mariota. You know, the hope is that you don't have to use him. I mean, but the reality is, and Mike Vrabel said himself, you look at the analytics, you look at the number, chances are you're going to have to use your backup quarterback at some point during the course of the season. And the Titans had to do it last year for a game and a half when Marcus Mariota dealt with a hamstring injury. So I think Blaine Gabbert, because of his decision-making, and because of his mobility and because of his being a little bit younger but still having some experience, I think that made him an attractive pick for the Titans. And it's one less area that you have to really be concerned too much about now moving forward.
But, Jim, we can't write off Alex Tanny by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I agree. You can't, because he's a competitor, certainly, and he's worked, and he's going to compete. People continue to ask me, well, is there a chance to take a quarterback in the draft? I mean, the answer I have to that, and you don't rule anything out, but if you take a quarterback in the draft at this point, then you're pretty much committing to keeping three on the 53-man roster, and I think that's tough today in a league with needs and special teams and in other positions. So I expect Alex Tanny to compete. And I think certainly, I think it'll be a position to watch. But there's no question Blaine Gabbert, is who they envision being backup quarterback in 2018.
Jim Wyatt writing great articles from Orlando, getting ready to catch a plane to come home. Amy Wells working on a story for all of the Titans media stuff. Can you share a little bit about what you and Ashley Farrell are working on while you're still in Orlando?
I can, because while Jim may have the volume of stories, we're going more for, in-depth, hard-hitting journalism here. we're hanging out with a current Tennessee Titan and Orlando resident, and just kind of spent some time talking about what it's like to play in the NFL for a decade and some change. So that's kind of my little tease.
Boy, that really narrows it down.
I know, right?
Yeah.
If you know, you know. So, but no, it's been great to be down here, and we're taking a day to spend some time with him and hopefully have a story for Titans fans when we come back.
Hey, let me ask you one more thing about being you guys have both been with Amy Adams Strunk for all of her owner's meetings, appearances in her time. Amy, let me ask you first. Can you notice a difference in her from the first owner's meeting she attended until now?
Oh, absolutely. Her level of confidence is through the roof, and a lot of it is because she's not new anymore. You know, she said, I asked her about not being the new guy, which is what she called herself the very first time we had done an interview with her. And she said, oh, no, I'm definitely not the new guy, and it's fantastic. Like, I never want to go back to being the new person anymore. She's still learning a lot, and she's still trying to, like, glean information when she's at these things, but she doesn't feel like she's trying to find where she fits in anymore. You know, I don't think she feels like she has to, like, hang under the radar anymore. She knows her place. She knows where she fits, and she feels more confident participating in some of the big owners' events that they have.
Jim, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, man, I just think people, obviously respect her. I mean, she came in kind of as a little bit of an unknown, a couple of years ago. Everybody knew she was Bud Adams' daughter, and she took over a team that was trying to find its footing, and she's proven to be a someone who's not afraid to make tough decisions, whether that comes at general manager or head coach or with players. I think the moves that she's made, not only inside the building to upgrade the facilities, but the moves she's made at the stadium, and she's making moves at the stadium. I mean, she's a mover and a shaker, and I think people respect what she's done with her decision-making, with her decision-making ability, and I think people respect what her team has done as a result of that. I mean, she's made made a really good hire in John Robinson. I think Mike Vrabel is going to end up making her look good as well. The moves she's made in free agency and the moves that that John Robinson made in the draft has put this team into a contender status. And I think because of that, people have a lot of respect for her. And she said herself, I mean, this top franchise is one of 32 teams competing to get a ring, and they're doing everything they can to make it happen. And I think her moves kind of speak to that.
As we wind up the OTP, want to inform you about something interesting that'll start next week at TitansOnline.com. Not only will you get top information from Jim Wyatt, as you do every single day, the volume of stories that Jim churns out is just amazing, but starting next week, we'll have two draft previews per day, which will run right up until the NFL draft, which of course starts on April the 26th. And one of the things that jumps out, we've picked 50 players that we're working on previewing. It's almost like the 30 draft visits. It's not exactly what you think it is. It's names we think you should keep in mind for different parts of the draft, different positions. We don't have quarterbacks because we don't expect the Titans to select a quarterback early. You know who all those guys are. We don't have Saquon Barkley because he's not going to last until the Titans. You know who the Penn State star is. And I think, Amy, it's really an interesting look at 50 players that Titans fans will have interest in, or just NFL fans will have interest in as they prepare for the draft.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that that's what makes me so excited about this project as we were kind of assembling this list and putting everything together. It's not, obviously, all 50 of these guys are not going to end up being Tennessee Titans. I don't know how many of them will end up being Tennessee Titans. But as just a fan of the NFL and as someone who really, really likes the draft, it's cool to get to know some of these guys, get familiar with some of their characteristics. And so you go into the draft feeling like you have a pretty good idea of who some of these players are. And I'm really excited for Titans fans to see what we've been working on. I think it's going to be really helpful and informative, and people will go into the draft with a broader understanding of at least 50 guys.
Jim, this may surprise you, but there are a lot of edge pass rushers on the list.
Thank God.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's funny the way, you know, moves that are made during the free agency sometimes point to certain positions that will be addressed in the draft, and I think that's where the conversation surrounding the Titans is shifting, because I think now people assume, you know, Mel Kiper, for example, who had the Titans taking a running back in his mock draft 2.0, has now switched to an edge rusher in his one that was put out this week 3.0. He's got Harold Landry from Boston College being the guy. You know, will it be an edge rusher? You know, I guess we'll find out in time, but I think you're going to see a lot of speculation on edge rushers with the Titans, just by the way things have played out so far.
Well, listen, want you guys to get home safely. You have both done a fantastic job in Orlando, and I know Titans fans appreciate what you have done while you've been down there. Amy Wells with Ashley Farrell working on stories, and the great Jim Wyatt with all he does. Thank you so much for your time, and please get home safely.
Absolutely,
appreciate it, and look forward to the next one. I appreciate you guys letting me be a part of this.
All right. This is the OTP, the official Titans podcast. For Amy Wells and Jim Wyatt, Mike Keith says we'll see you next time.